Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near. And I can feel a change in the wind right now. Nothing's in my way, and I'm not gonna hold me down no more. No, they're not gonna hold me down, 'cause I've got faith of the heart.
Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Jess Armine coming to you from the Center for Bioindividualized Medicine here in southeastern Pennsylvania. How's everybody doing tonight? It is a great night. We have a great guest tonight who has been with us before and is the quintessential expert in everything environmental. And she's graciously agreed to do several podcasts for us. So I'm taking her up on her offer, quite frankly. Okay. Couple of quick announcements. We have had a little bit of changes here at the Center for Bioindividualized Medicine, and if you go to the website, you'll find that we've gone back to the old way of scheduling and consulting. We're no longer using the functional medicine coaches. It'll just be me, and that's the way it's been, and that's the way it will be. And you'll see some changes on the site. Okay, it'll actually cost less money, and I think you get better service. But nevertheless, it is good, and I'm looking forward to continuing to serve you. Tonight, we have Mary Cordero again. Mary Cordero is a healthy building and indoor environmental consultant since 1989. She's a certified, I'm going to screw this up again, biobiologist. Hey, I got it. Okay, which is a German, it's a German word. I know it. Anyway, so Mary helps her clients create safe, healing homes and workplaces, and she facilitates lowering the body burden of pollutants, most importantly for the developing fetus, small children, and those who are recovering from illnesses. Her clients include new or prospective parents who want their children to start out in a healthy environment, or those who suffer from allergies, asthma, chemical, mold, and electrical sensitivities. And her collaborative approach is unique, synthesizing the fields of German biology and American building science. We did an overview on April 3rd, and tonight we're going to be talking about electromagnetic fields. Mary, thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, it's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And you're giving a lot of your time over the next few months. And we're going to do different subjects. And that at some point, we're going to do a big Q&A that people can call in and ask whatever questions they'd like. Before we get into electromagnetic fields, is there any points that you want to make regarding your last month's radio show?
Yes, thank you for asking. I'll say this really quickly. I went over the top few things to do to get started on a healthy home. You know, the easy stuff, cleaning products, personal products. One of the things I left out that's super critical that I hope everybody will do is remove all synthetic fragrances from the home. That means anything that is not, that says the word fragrance on it, and it has a smell like perfume. It could be a product that is perfume or cologne. It could be in something. But the fragrance industry is allowed by law to keep all of their, most of their chemicals, if not all of them, proprietary. Most of them have phthalates in them. Those are the endocrine or estrogen mimickers, as well as serious carcinogenic chemicals. And again, it's legal for them not to disclose up to about 100 chemicals. So for anything that says fragrances or smells like fragrance, if you don't know that it has organic essential oils in it and you tolerate essential oils, then anything that's a scented candle, plug-in deodorizers, those are definitely, they got to go. Any personal products with fragrances in them, so look at your ingredients on your personal products. Anything at all, just purge the house of all that stuff, because it's one of the biggest contributors to carcinogens and estrogen mimickers.
If you just would digress for a moment, I have to be consistently reminded of this, okay? So I'm sure that other people do. I figure if I have a question, most people do. We know that that breast cancer and all the estrogen-loving cancers are rampant these days, okay? And we tend to want to blame them on estrogen dominance and all the genetic stuff. But the fact is that the tendency towards estrogen dominance has been there since time immemorial, okay? And it's the environment that is creating the problem, okay?
Right.
Can you go over what creates the xenoestrogens, the estrogen-like compounds that are adding to all the estrogen-loving cancers?
You mean the specific? They're mostly the phthalates, which is spelled phthalates. It won't say that on the product, of course, but they're basically chemicals. There's various types of phthalates. Some of them are actually, many of them are in plastic products, but there are certain types of phthalates added to fragrances as well and deodorizers. These are toxic compounds that mimic estrogen, and the route of exposure is through inhalation as well as dermal contact. So you can inhale it in the fragrance that's in the air. You can also absorb it through your skin and into your body from a personal product. You can of course, ingest it if you're using plastic products for food and beverages, that's another way. But this particular important fact is really about the word fragrance and making sure that besides avoiding the plasticizers in plastic food and beverage containers and lowering the amount of vinyl in your home, for example, which is also an emitter of phthalates, that you really, really purge the house of anything with the word fragrance on it. And if it doesn't have any word on it at all, just get rid of it, because you would know. If you were buying a product made with organic essential oils, the product maker would make a big deal out of that because it's expensive. And many people don't tolerate those essential oils, so just be careful with that too.
Okay. Good to know. I was at ShyCon 2016 lecturing with Dr. Ben Lynch last week, another weekend before, and that was a big subject. The xenoestrogens, and I have several patients that were, battling that at the moment, and it's tough. It's really tough.
Let us talk.
Go ahead, yeah. Please.
Oh, you just have to be really vigilant, and I think this is just one of those things that's an easy thing to start with in addition to the other things I mentioned, because basically just means throwing stuff out, right? You don't replace
cool.
a plug-in with a good plug-in, for example.
Yeah, well, plug-ins are, open the window and put a fan in. I mean, we got enough things to fight that we don't have to be adding stuff to the atmosphere, let's face it,
Exactly.
Simple as that.
That's right.
So let's talk a little bit about EMFs. It's something that I know some people put an awful lot of stock in, and I'm seeing more sensitivity, but EMF means electromagnetic field. And maybe we can start by asking, what exactly is an electromagnetic field?
Well, basically it's just a frequency that vibrates at a certain speed. So, for example, the electricity that powers your house is 60 hertz, so that's 60 cycles per second of an EMF frequency. And then as you get into the higher and higher frequencies, they pulse higher and higher and higher. If you're looking at electromagnetic frequencies from wired, so like the wires in your house, the wires on your appliances, anything plugged in or wired in the wall, if you're looking at wired sources all the way to the wireless sources, you're looking at a broad spectrum of types of actual frequencies that are measurable as electromagnetic fields. They are man-made. Our bodies are actually electromagnetic, right? We have
right.
all this very intricate signaling that happens with the cells and the body and the brain, and that's natural electromagnetic action on a cellular all the way to the cellular level. And then from the Earth, there are actual natural electromagnetic fields. But the man-made ones, particularly when they're too high, those are the ones we're going to talk about today that can actually elicit a stress response by the cell. The cell will detect it as and respond in stress. And this has been done basically a lot of research done by independent scientists looking at this all over the world.
Okay. Go
well,
for
we're
it.
Going to actually go over quite a number of types, although I know most people think of electromagnetic fields as coming from wireless sources, and we will definitely go into that.
Okay, well, go for it.
Okay. Okay, well, first, what I thought I'd start with is a lot of people really can't quite believe that these are harmful. Because we can't see them. You have to have special equipment, testing equipment, to measure these fields. Engineers, electrical engineers, they of course know that they're real and measurable. They're a physical thing, even though they're invisible. But most people can't believe that a cell phone or Wi-Fi or even something, plugged in next to your head could be damaging, because it's hard to believe the government would release all this stuff if it was really that bad. Unfortunately, it is the case that the state safety standards are vastly inadequate, and that's what I wanted to start with, just so people could understand, kind of get over the hump on why electromagnetic fields really are, we're living in a soup of them, and why that can be. Why would the government allow that? Well, we know they allow a lot of other things, like GMOs.
They sure do. That's
so
kind of a silly question. Why would the government allow that? Okay.
But, a lot of people, because cell phones, particularly Wi-Fi, tablets, all these things we live with are so much enmeshed into our lives now, it seems like you're asking people to, give up their right hand or something. And so there's a lot of resistance to really, really getting the fact that that the safety standards are vastly inadequate. So I want to just start with the highlights of that and then give people places to go if they want to know more. First of all, when it comes to the safety standards, they're very old. They're 17 years old, which
really?
Was quite a bit before all of these other devices came on the market. They were allowed to bring them on the market without any pre-market testing when it comes to health, except for these old antiquated safety standards, which were based on basically large men, either in the medical or military arenas, and they had nothing to do at all with multiple antennas, because they're all sources of antennas or devices, as
mm-hmm.
well as other populations other than these large males in certain environments. So they're extremely antiquated. The other thing to keep in mind is in 2011, there's an organization that came out, and the World Health Organization adopted their statement, and then I think they retracted it. But in 2011, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, or the IARC, put together epidemiological studies and evidence that pretty much shows, and so the statement, there's a firm statement that came out of that, that the average person using a cell phone for half an hour a day shows for 10 years has an increased risk of brain cancer. So we already have that evidence now, that statement made by the IARC, and yet everybody's walking around using the cell phones, given the current safety standards, and at risk. So, you know, just that little bit of information provides enough, in a way, you know, for us to know that the safety standards are not only inadequate, but they've been studied to be inadequate by a large international organization, and that was years ago. That was 2011. So
does it matter where you hold the cell phone? I've always wondered, is it the cell phone that you're holding up to your ear, or does it make a difference that you got those little thingies in your ear?
It does, but that brings up a really good question, okay? The only the safety standards, the current safety standards by the wireless industry, really only looks at what's called the thermal effect or heat effect. That's when the microwave radiation, which, by the way, is the same kind of radiation that uses microwave for a microwave oven. It's just at much lower level.
Hence all those microwave towers, right? The cell towers.
Yes. Right, exactly. So basically what this means is if you hold it right up to your head, then you're cooking your head. And
wow.
You're cooking your cornea. And, again, half hour a day for 10 years, increased risk of brain cancer. So the thing is, the heat effect or the thermal effect is the higher level of radiation that produces heat. So, again, they're only studying how it cooks you. And that has only been studied on adult males with large heads, not children, not people who are
teenagers,
smaller.
Right?
And what all of the cell phone guidelines say when you buy a cell phone, and it's buried, you have to really look for this, they all say to hold the cell phone 10 millimeters away from your head. That's about a half an inch. And so let's just call it an inch, okay? If you don't hold it an inch from your head, then you are not even following their antiquated safety limits.
Wow.
Okay. So that's only for the heat effect. So what's the other effect? The other effect is the very low levels of what's called non-ionizing radiation, which is the non-heat effect. And that means that there's no heat produced, but there is radiation that has been shown in multiple early studies. We call them early because they're not real big, large-scale studies that show, for example, the cell response, the stress response in cells. And there's a study that was recently posted by on Facebook by the Environmental Health Trust. If anybody really wants to get the latest studies, go to ehtrust.org or go to Environmental Health Trust on Facebook. But, you know, this is just one example among thousands of studies that are being conducted on a small scale that the role of electromagnetic fields, for example, in neurological disorders. And this particular study, it's a review that discusses what's known about the etiology of EMF hypersensitivity, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, ALS, Huntington's disease. And basically, you know, pulling together enough data to show that there's reason for concern there on that level. there's a great meta-study called the Bioinitiative Report. Excuse me, the Bioinitiative Report, you can find it online, is a meta-study of basically most of the most pertinent studies done to show the health effects of EMF. And just to make a point here that these are not industry-funded studies. The industry, meaning the, you know, wireless providers and so forth, they have not independently studied the lower-level non-heat, non-thermal effects. They have only studied thermal. And that most of those studies prove to be no danger at all. They're all industry-funded, pretty much. So the Bioinitiative Report publishes a big collection of various health effects shown through various independent studies on so many different levels, you know, everything from effects to the developing fetus to neurological, you know, cancer, including leukemia. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So, you know, I really kind of wanted to hit everybody between the eyes with the seriousness of this and how the industry, similar to the tobacco industry, the asbestos industry, you know, put GMOs in that basket, that epidemiologists like the famous Deborah Davis, she wrote a very compelling book on all this, and she started the Environmental Health Trust. She says the epidemiologists basically just wait for the body count. You know, that's what happened with tobacco. That's what happened with asbestos. So we're looking at long-term results, really, to see the body count. The health results is kind of a crass way to put it, but long-term...
No, it's correct. Epidemiology is a retrospective science. It's, you know,
exactly.
It's retrospective, and then you can be prospective after you've been retrospective, but you need the body count first.
You need the body count first, and this is so pervasive because it's now everywhere. Little children are using devices as early as a year and 2 years now. It's become like sort of hardwired into our brains now that we need these devices. There is an addiction associated with working on wireless devices. We feel our bodies, our brains start to crave it. It runs our lives. They're totally integrated into most of what everybody does now, as anybody can relate to at this point. So it's a huge problem. I think even bigger than the tobacco problem was because you could choose not to smoke and you could choose to stay away from it. With EMFs now, particularly the wireless, many people don't have the choice anymore, either because their lives are run by it or because we're just living in a sea of it wherever we go. And that's why it's so important to do really good EMF reduction, exposure reduction, and there are ways to do this and make your own home as safe as possible so your body gets a break from what we can't control the rest of the time. That's kind of the whole point of the starting with the safe bedroom and then the safe home, so that our bodies have a chance to kind of like reboot, you know, and we're not always in the cell response, stress response, loading up the cells. Some people, you know, deal with it a lot better than others. They don't notice anything. They don't feel anything. They sleep well. But again, we're looking at what are the long-term effects of this. If you're not an electrically hypersensitive person now, what could be the effects way down the line?
So let's stay there for a moment, okay? It's obvious you know what you're talking about. Okay. I want to bring it down to some more practical things. First off, Why do you think, before I ask you, more EMF than others, if you will, why do you think some people are sensitive and some people aren't?
Well, that is like the million-dollar question. Some medical experts believe that people who are more sensitive may have a heavy metal toxicity. They may also have, an overlapping mold sensitivity, mold exposures. There's been some really early data that shows that mold and EMFs have an affinity for each other. That mold will actually, get worse in a high EMF environment and perhaps even in the body. So there's lots of theories floating around, but I think in general what we're talking about is a nervous system that can't take it. It's overstimulation. It's another body burden, think of it that way, on top of everything else. I hear all kinds of symptoms when it comes to this. I'm sure you've heard it all too. You know, everything from my brain feels like it's on fire. My body feels like it's on fire. I've had people say that it feels like there's an electrical storm inside their brain. I think just like chemical sensitivity, when I started in this field of the healthy environment in 89, the number of chemically sensitive people was relatively low back then. Those were the real canaries. Now we have a huge growing population of environmentally sensitive, including chemically sensitive. And I think that these people who are highly hyper electrically sensitive are now the canaries for what probably will get much worse. And we're seeing it with children too, not just people who have been sick a long time. We're seeing it with little children who can't stay in a classroom, who don't sleep unless the Wi-Fi is turned off. This is happening at all ages now.
Yeah, to support what you're saying, it's, as you know, I've been in the healthcare provider for, last week, 40 years. And what I've noticed is that people are getting sicker earlier, that children are getting sicker, that the testing that I'm seeing, the neurotransmitter testing, the excitation, that I'm seeing neural excitation, more ADD, more ADHD, more OCD, more autism. I think generally speaking, we have an excitotoxic society. We have multiple factors that are exciting the nervous system, and EMFs is certainly significant, or EMFs are certainly significant. I can't speak English, you know that. And it's true. The English language is not a secondary language. The people have questioned my DNA of whether I'm really from this earth, but that's besides the point. But I digress. But I've noticed that you're absolutely correct. I know a bunch of people who were never affected by EMFs and are now. Okay. I've seen it start happening younger and younger and younger. Even some children exiting the womb being hyper excited. And those are the kids that usually a child, if you they just get used to their environment. So, they'll take a nap in the middle of a fire alarm. It's not a big deal if they get used to it. But there's some kids that you can't even sneeze without waking them up. These are the kids that are allergic to everything. These are the kids that are, sensitive to EMF, sensitive to their mother's breast milk, depending on what mom, eats. There's a big interaction going on here. Okay. EMFs is certainly an indicator, and certainly something you can control, which is the big deal, So,
Exactly. I just want to add too, that there is some recent data that shows that EMFs actually impact pregnancy outcome and childhood diseases, including asthma, even diabetes, believe it or not. I know we don't have time to go into all these different studies, but, it is happening. It's another indicator. It's another burden, and as you and so more and more people are showing it earlier and earlier as young as babies now.
Just look at it from the point of view of body burden.
Yep.
You know, we tend to, because of our specialty type thinking, in other words, we're used to treating from the outside in, from the diagnosis in, and we tend to not look at the entire body burden. We tend to not look at things foundationally, or I hate to use the word holistically because it conjures up pictures of somebody swinging dead chickens over somebody's head or using crystals or whatever. Not that I'm saying that those things are bad, God forbid, you know, but but you know, people start thinking woo-woo. That's just woo-woo. That's nonsense. Yeah. You know, I mean, if we look at something holistically, it means you're looking at the whole picture. The biggest problem we have is, as so many healthcare providers looking at things in pieces, you know, and that, I think that's what's led to this, because it's like this big deal that, oh, we found a study that's doing this. If you look at it from a foundational point of view, it makes perfect sense. If you look at it from the body burden point of view.
Exactly. It's all interrelated, and we have no idea what all the different outcomes are of the combination of all these environmental factors. Kind of like chemicals, you know, if you look at one chemical at a time in an environment, you're not really putting into the picture that there's many chemicals in an environment, not just one at a time, and they all interact with each other in a synergistic way. And so the body burden is the same way. We have EMFs, we have chemicals, we have, you know, outdoor pollution, we have all these different things that interact together synergistically in the body. And it just really kind of proves the point that a precautionary preventive approach is really important, so we don't, because we can't possibly predict all the outcomes. It's absolutely impossible.
Absolutely true. You know, and it's interesting that you say that there's synergistic effect, because when we talked about the cell danger response, when you start having various assaults on the cell, it's not 4 + 4 + 4, it's 4 × 4 × 4. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is you take one of those factors away, you're taking a seriously large amount of burden away from the body. So if it gets synergistically added to it, if you will, it's going to be synergistically subtracted. So dealing with what you can deal with will have significant effect.
That's right.
You know, some people
Absolutely.
Just kind of throw their hands up and say, forget about it, but it will have significant effect if you simply control the things you can control.
Exactly. And just to put aside what often people say is, well, gosh, if my home is that pristine, doesn't that mean I'll be too sensitive to the rest of the world? And it's absolutely the opposite. If your body gets a break, even if it's just at night when you're sleeping, then you're going to be stronger during the day to be able to better handle what's out there. So, you know, just to put that to rest, because I get that all the time.
Well, I bet you do. In your last lecture, you were talking about different vacuums and the effect of dust. And I was thinking about my own house. I was like, oh, God. So as you were talking, I ordered one of the vacuum cleaners you recommended, you know, from Amazon. And it came, my son's vacuum house, said, this thing's great. You know, he even vacuumed the dog. I know the dog didn't like having somebody with his foot on his tail, but he's a clean dog now.
Oh, good. Yay.
No,
I'm very proud of you.
Dust around. You know, he was pretty happy, but he didn't like the process because, you know, they like it because you're hurting my dog ears, you know. But I'm telling you something, you're right. I mean, it's, and I started looking at different vacuums and the ones that were sealed and the ones that weren't. And, you know, and I'm like, wow, I never thought this was a problem. You know, you have this stuff coming out the other end is just kind of spreading it after you're picking it up. But, you know, who knows?
Right.
It was great. It was like, it was really good.
That's great. Wonderful. Well, I guess probably now it's time for me to go into exposure reduction.
If you could digress for just a moment. By the way, everybody, if you want to call in with a question, it's 646-595-2277. That's 646-595-2277. And if you're in the chat room, just go ahead and type a question and I'll ask Mary. We have you point out in some of your writings, what are the things that which EMFs are unsafe? I mean, is it a matter of just cell phones? What about things like does baby monitor, tablets and iPads and cordless phones? I mean, which ones are pumping out the worst EMFs, or should we just be after all of them?
We need to be in our own homes. We need to be after all of them because they are all basically antennas, you know, for radio frequency. And and your body becomes part of the antenna. You know, the frequency is going between, for example, the cell phone. It's going between the cell phone and the base station, you know, the cell tower, satellite, whatever it is, cell antenna, and you're in the middle. So you're part of the circuit. Same with same with baby monitors, same with tablets, iPads, same with gigahertz cordless phones. Just think of them all as microwave, digital microwave devices that are communicating with a base or a base station, and you're in between. You're in the middle of it, so you are part of the circuit, basically. So yeah, we need to look at all those things, and I can certainly address kind of a laundry list of how to you know, reduce your exposure to all those things. But just to kind of first put it into perspective, the types of EMFs. There's, of course, I just mentioned all of the smart meters are another one. All those things I just mentioned, that list of devices, including smart meters, cell towers, cell phones, iPads, you know, all of these wireless devices, cordless phones, they're all producing digital microwave pulsed radiation. So it's high frequency, or radio frequency is basically another word to use. So I often will abbreviate that to RF, or radio frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one source. Then we also have something called dirty electricity, which is basically what happens is when you have things like fluorescent bulbs, some LED bulbs, you know, a smart meter is another source. Anything that puts radio frequency onto your household wiring, then your household wiring becomes an emitter of what's called dirty electricity. And that's another source to look at. But I would say you want to first look at the sources of the antenna devices, as I mentioned before. Also look at dirty electricity after that, and then even go into the lower frequency. So we talked about radio frequency or high frequency. The low frequency or extreme, it's called ELF, extremely low frequency. Those are EMFs from the wired sources, the cables in your walls, the devices plugged in, electric clock plugged in next to your head, that kind of thing. So we want to look at all those sources, but I'm going to start with the wireless because I think that's what everybody's most worried about and has heard the most about, and what to do, what we can control with those devices. So let's go into that first. By the way, before I do that, I just want to say that if you live within the line of sight, meaning you're looking out your window or your door and you can see a cell tower or a cell antenna. A cell tower can have multiple antennas on it. Sometimes they look like fake trees. There might be a big thing on top of a building. Sometimes antennas are put on the sides of buildings. If you can see any of that from your house line of sight, then the levels will be very high. But if you can't see it and you're, you know, within about a quarter of a mile, a quarter of a mile is a good safe distance. You can go onto a website called antennasearch.com. So the word antenna and then search.com, and you can plug your address in to see. And it's not updated minute by minute, but it'll give you a rough idea how close the nearest cell towers or antennas are to you. And, you know, that's a harder thing to deal with that we probably won't have time to go into now. Pardon me. But yeah, we can maybe handle that on a Q&A, and I can talk a little bit about that. So for now, let's go into some of the other devices that we can control, starting with cell phones. So I talked earlier in the beginning about, you know, the safety standards and how inadequate they are, and they only look at the heat effect. So even if you're if you have your phone on speaker, for example, and you're not holding it up to your head, or you're wearing a headset of some type, then you are definitely eliminating the heat effect. So that's kind of like the real minimal thing you want to do. That's the minimum, reduce the heat effect or get rid of the heat effect. But there's another type of EMF, as I said earlier, that is the lower levels that don't create heat, and that's the non-thermal effect. That effect radiates out about 10 to 15 feet from a cell phone, a tablet, you know, an iPad, anything, even, you know, any kind of a wireless device. But what I have more recent data in on are the tablets and cell phones from some very distinguished EMF researchers in Germany. It's a very small study, but they looked at the distance of unhealthy levels. So whether you're talking on it, typing on it, it doesn't matter. As long as it's in standby mode, that's it, just standby, 10 to 15 feet. So what that means is a few things. The best thing you could do is, let me go back to the heat effect. I want to wrap that up. I forgot something. If you carry a cell phone on your body, okay, think about where you're putting it. People put them in their bras. They put it in men put it in their pocket, close to their, right? You put it over your heart in a shirt pocket. Basically, what you're doing is you are getting a big hit of thermal effect to very important parts of your body. There's already some indication that there's a pretty good correlation with breast cancer and cell phones being held in the bra, of course, brain cancer. So, number one, you got to get it off your body unless you put it in airplane mode. Really important. I mean, you know, you guys are just going to have to get used to carrying some kind of backpack or whatever. It's not safe to put on your body, and particularly in your pocket.
I'm afraid to ask what it'll do, but I think I get the idea.
Yeah, well, actually, in case there's guys out there who aren't believing this, there is a study done at UC San Francisco, actually 7 peer-reviewed study that shows DNA damage to sperm. So it's a fact, you know. You're really doing damage, especially if you're in preconception age or still having children. That's a really good evidence to give your husbands if they're not believing you, for example. So, get it off your body. If it's on your body, put it in airplane mode, and then just check your messages and texts later if you really cannot take it off your body. That's another way to do it.
Now, what is airplane mode do?
Oh, thank you for asking that. Airplane mode means that you're taking it out of standby mode. You cannot get any communication at all. You can still use your alarm and maybe some games that don't require communication, but you can't get emails, you can't get on the internet, can't use any Facebook apps, anything like that. And you just go into your settings, and it says airplane mode, and you push on, and then, you know, you're safe. If you if you don't have a landline, a corded landline particularly, then and all you have is a cell phone, then you definitely do not want to put that next to your head on the nightstand. People put them in, under their pillows. Kids are keeping them on all the time. They have to know when they get a text. So it's very important to, if you don't have any other phone, to put it as far away as possible. It, you know, I would say 15 feet. Turn the bell on loud so that you can hear it if it rings. Or put it in airplane mode if you have to keep it near you, because you're using it for a, for an alarm, you know, to get up in the morning. So that's another thing that you can do. My favorite, though, although it's becoming rather antiquated, is to have a corded landline. Forward your cell phone to a corded landline, so you're still getting all your calls, and put your turn your phone off or keep it in airplane mode unless you absolutely have to use it, and then just keep it on for brief periods of time and then shut it off. What I do is, I don't have a smartphone, but I know a lot of very EMF careful people who do. They follow all those instructions. But if you want to really be careful and you don't mind being totally antiquated, you can use a basic phone. A basic phone isn't able to take any apps like Facebook, Skype, and so forth. You could still get on the internet, but it's, you know, you can't do apps. It's very tedious, and some of them have little keyboards for texting, but basically there's two ways to get around this, and I think it's really, you know, it's very helpful. You could actually, if you can afford it, you can get one phone, a smartphone that you keep in airplane mode or off, and you have a plan that is, inexpensive. And then you have a second phone that you give everybody to, that you use for a basic phone for talking and texting, or just talking. So that means you're keeping the smartphone off most of the time, unless you need to get on the internet or you need to read your emails for some reason or you need to look at Facebook. You keep it off, and then you have a second phone, this basic phone, so that you can get calls. And you can leave that on all the time, because basic phones in standby mode don't radiate out 10 to 15 feet. So you can get a call without being blasted while it's in standby mode. You still want to keep your calls to a minimum, because when you're talking, when it's actually on and you're speaking, then you are getting high levels. But only then, not when it's in standby mode, unlike a smartphone. Now, I do that with an iPad. I have a basic phone that I use. I keep it on all the time when I'm away from the house, because I have a corded landline in the house. And then when I'm in the car running around or traveling, I have an iPad, and it's on a cell plan. So when I need to, you know, get on the internet and text people or anything, I use that, and then I keep it off or in airplane mode the rest of the time. But I can still get calls on my basic phone. I can leave that on all the time. There's another
you know we're never going to get any kind of teenager to do that.
They
are connected to their smartphones. They're connected to their smartphones.
They are, and so I think that's why it's really important for parents to really, you know, slowly start to give them a complete Wi-Fi free, cell phone free sleep. Start with that. Teach them to put it in standby mode at night. Get a landline if you can afford it. And it's so critical to really reduce this exposure during the sleep at the very, very minimum, because the brain and the body are doing so many, many big important jobs during sleep, and that gets interfered with.
Absolutely.
The EMF.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So, you know, I know it's a hard thing. That's why I mentioned earlier it's a big deal to make these changes because they're so integrated into our lives at such an early age now. You know, children, little children, toddlers, no toddler should be on a screen. We should not be training them on screens at such a tiny age, even if they're in airplane mode, because you're setting them up to need it and want it and look for it way too young. But in those cases where it's already happened, keep those things in airplane mode. Do not expose a young child to these frequencies. You know, these toddlers are basically getting onto the internet and using apps at the age of 1.5 and 2. It's just insane. So yeah, you're right, and you know, parents need to really, really look at this seriously. There's another thing that you can do again to help reduce exposure. When you're on your cell phone in the car, it's really best if you have the antenna on the outside of the car with the hands free, because if you don't have the antenna on the outside of the car, and you're using your cell phone in the car, the power has to amp up a lot higher in order to communicate from inside a metal structure. So, you know, the high EMFs are much worse. Secondly, you're really, again, part of the circuit. Your body becomes an antenna. So that's the best way to use a cell phone is when the antenna's on the outside and it's hands-free on the inside. In general, when you talk on your phone, though, if you're not in the car or if you don't have that kind of setup, is to get what's called an air tube headset, AirTube. So basically, it just means that part of the metal wire has been replaced with an air tube. You still get sound going up the tube, but you don't have the metal carrying the frequency up into your ear. So that type of non-thermal radiation when you're using a headset is closer to your brain unless you're using the type of headset where there's the metal is interrupted with this air tube. So the sound isn't great. That's the only problem. But there's lots of different types on the internet, if you look for AirTube headset, and just they're not horribly expensive. They may wear out faster than some of the better quality earbuds. But what it's doing is it's, again, you're getting rid of the thermal effect because it's a headset, but now you're also cutting down on the non-thermal effect going into your ear and into your brain, because that earbud is right inside your ear. And then there's something called a ferrite filter. It's ferrite like iron, F-E-R-R-I-T-E. That you can also get to accompany the AirTube headset. It clips on the end of the wire where it plugs into the phone, and that is an actual shielding device from the computer shielding industry. It just basically tamps down or lowers the amount of radiation going up the wire next to your body. So there is no 100% protection, as you know by now, because it's a 10 to 15 foot radius, whether you're speaking or not. But at least the highest levels are being minimized when you do have to use it, and especially if you're cutting down on your talking time, keeping those conversations to as much of a minimum as possible.
Wow. Really, wow. This is like really, this is more extensive than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah, it really is. I know. And it's like I end up being really the bearer of bad news here, but it is so critical. You know, again, just start with nighttime. Start with that, you know. Give your body a break. Give your kids' body a break. Just take that first step. And speaking of nighttime, that's another there's another really important thing to do besides your iPads and cell phones with that distance, that 15-foot distance, or in airplane mode, is Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi is another source of the same, basically, you know, microwave digital pulse radiation. It's 24/7 in your house unless you turn it off at night. So at the very minimum, this is minimum, turn it off when you go to sleep. That means cut it at a power strip or unplug it from the wall. Some routers aren't set up to be turned off and on. So I've had a lot of husbands get mad at me for this because they, you know, they
can't imagine.
So you have to check with your, you know, check to see if you have the kind of router that can be shut off. If you don't, then get another router that can, so that you can, you know, just unplug it or hook it up to a power strip. And I, in my office, I don't have wireless, but I do this anyway. My router is wired, but I have the router and my printer, the computer, everything on one power strip, and I just cut it at night, just shut everything off from one power strip at night, and that's not in the bedroom, so we don't want any of these things in the bedroom. So that's, you know, that's the other thing you can start with, and particularly if you're recovering from illness or you're pregnant or you have small children, minimum, cut the Wi-Fi at night. The next level to go would be turn it off when you're not using it. You can basically, especially if you're pregnant, you have small children, or you're recovering from illness, the more that you shut it off, the better. The next step would be to wire up your computers, you know, wires from your router to your computers, and you can even hook up an iPad. Believe it or not, there's a way to do that to a wire. So that would be the ultimate. And I actually wrote a big, long article on this, even the type of cable to get if you do that. It's on the Weston Price, WestonAPrice.org website. But if you just Google EMR for electromagnetic radiation, EMR and my name, Mary Cordaro, it will come up. And everything I'm talking about in much more detail will be listed on how to do it and what to do. There's also a really good article on Safe Baby. I'm on the advisory board for an organization called Safe Baby, S-A-F-B-A-B-Y, no E. And it's called Wake Up Call, Cell Phones, Children, and Brain Tumors. And all you have to do is just Google Wake Up Call and my name, and it'll come up. And a lot of, you know, the data and the details on all of this, everything I've said and more about cell phones is on that article. And that's a good one to send around to people because it really hits the point, you know. It hits home what's important to do. So,
wow. So if we could... if you could go back, because we're getting on 9 o'clock now, and I'm sure people are starting to get a little confused because it's been an hour.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're gonna have to revisit some of these things. But how about telling us the best way, the things we have? Well, you know, there's things we have control over, things we don't. And you know, we hear a lot about shielding devices. I've always had my suspicions about them.
Yeah.
What can, aside from the things you've already told us, what can we do to protect ourselves? Because obviously EMFs for some people are not an issue. For some people they are. And for some people, when they weren't an issue, are now an issue. And they may not realize that these are issues. How can you check, number one, the level of EMFs in your home or in a particular room? And two, how can you shield yourself if that's possible at all?
Well, first of all, there's no need to test any of these things because it just, you know, I've been in this field for a long time and I work with EMF experts and we've tested and tested and tested. They all radiate. So there's
wow.
no in testing any of the things I have mentioned that are wireless. If we do another show on the extra low frequency coming from 60 hertz sources, that I can tell people how to test easily and reduce exposure. That's a whole other topic. But wireless is basically emitting at levels that are known. There is no need to test. The only reason to test is if you have access to either an environmental inspector who specializes in this, or you buy your own meter and you learn how to use it, to see if there are perhaps cell antennas or towers that are too close to you. And that you can do. There's something called an acoustimeter, like acoustic, only acoustimeter. Mm-hmm. And it gives you basically a sound which tells you within a certain frequency range if you're if you could be exposed to an outdoor source that could be too high. It doesn't tell you exactly what the source is, but it's like a broad-range tester. It's probably the least expensive one that you can get. There are other meters out there that are more professional that many average people are getting and using to test. That would be a reason to test. Or if you're looking at a home or and you don't know if you should buy it, you know, that's another reason to test. Otherwise, everything else I said is a done deal. No reason to test. You just have to reduce exposure as much as possible.
Wow. Okay. Well, I tell you what. It's obvious that we're going to do another show on this. Okay. Can you give people some real practical advice? I know I'm asking you to repeat yourself, but if I'm sitting here a little saying, gee, this sounds really wonderful, but I'm a little right at the moment. What can we do like right now, tonight, to, you know, looking around our houses and stuff and saying, you know, I can do this and this and this right now.
Right now. Okay. Right now, if your router is this type, shut it off when you go to bed. Shut your Wi-Fi off, number one. Number two, if you have a landline, and it's corded and it's not cordless, if you have that, shut your cell phones off completely at night. Forward them first to your landline and then shut off your cell phone. If you don't have a landline or you only have cordless phones, then unplug from the wall your cordless phones and put your cell phone 15 feet away from where you sleep, turn the ringer up, and so you can hear it and get your calls that way during the night. So again, you're eliminating the 24/7 that comes from corded phones. They never shut. They never stop radiating, just like cell phones. You're eliminating that proximity to your cell phone. You're eliminating Wi-Fi. Put all your tablets in airplane mode or off. Now you're getting rid of some of the biggest sources of wireless EMF. And lastly, if you don't absolutely need a baby monitor, if you can hear your baby anyway, and it's not a safety issue, don't use that baby monitor because it's another source of the same type of digital pulsed microwave radiation that I talked about before. You can if at all possible, that would be another thing to do, unless it's a safety issue, and then we'll go into that next time, or you can read the article I told you about, and it tells you what to do instead.
If you would be so kind, any of the articles that you would like people to read, if you could forward them to me, and I'll send them out in a newsletter.
Absolutely.
Okay, this
would be cool. Happy to do that.
I think that I'll encapsulate them for everyone. Okay. Mary, like usual, you're a fountain of information. And this is stuff that people really need to know. And you not only have the scientific and clinical knowledge, you have all the practical ways of dealing with things, you know, and you're an invaluable resource. And I thank you for being on the show with us tonight.
Oh, I'm really happy to be able to share it because it's so important. Thank you so much for inviting me to talk about this.
You're most welcome. And I know that you don't sell any particular product, but you do consult with people, yes?
Yes, I do. I consult to homeowners, people in apartments, you know, anybody on how to create a healthy environment. I work by phone with people all over the country. I don't have to be on site. So I troubleshoot problems, whether it's chemicals, mold, whatever it is. If I need to work with local inspectors, I will do that and help people find the right people to work with and, you know, put all the pieces together. I also consult on new construction and remodeling, writing specifications for healthy materials, and I integrate everything that we've talked about, including safe wiring and low EMF environments, as well as, you know, non-toxic products and materials and heating and air conditioning, you know, just the whole thing.
How would people get in touch with you should they want to consult with you?
Well, they can go to our website, which is simply my name. So it's MaryCor, D as in David, ARO.com. And everything's pretty much described there. There's a blog as well. There's a lot of free, you know, free articles and radio shows on the blog and on the website if people want to just get started that way. And you can also go to safebaby.com and read some of the articles I've read there. It's safebaby.com.
Wonderful. Mary, again, thank you so much. And I know you've agreed to do almost monthly podcasts with us on different subjects. And this is a heck of a commitment, and I appreciate it. I've got to tell you something. You're really wonderful. I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with our listeners, and I appreciate your support and friendship, really.
Oh, thank you. I feel the same about you. I mean, you have a passionate interest in all of this, and as a healthcare provider, it is, you know, so heartening to have you, you know, so interested and help your patients and others who will hear these shows and other shows that you do. And I really appreciate being part of that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And we will talk with you soon, probably early next month, right?
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks so much, Mary. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, that was Mary Cordero. As you know, she's an expert in all things environmental. One of the reasons that that I like having Mary on the show is her obvious knowledge and the fact that she's not selling product. There's a real problem out there when you're talking about environmental toxins. There's somebody always trying to sell something, and you don't know who to believe. And you know, if you are trying to get your house checked for mold, and that mold inspector is associated with a mold remediation company, they're going to find mold. Okay, so it's good to have someone who is as astute and knowledgeable and experienced as Mary, who does not have an axe to grind and nothing to sell. And believe me when I tell you that that increases the veracity of her statements like you wouldn't believe. And one of my jobs, as I see it, has been to supply you with good, honest, usable information. Okay, because, you know, we started this podcast to eradicate chronic illnesses, and it's taken on a life of its own. We have over 125,000 listeners, and people listen to our, you know, I look at this every week, and it just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows, you know, and it's because of the level of information. Also on Blog Talk Radio, if you went to the health page, you'd see our blog, and it's got a little flame next to it, meaning we're hot. Okay, so I appreciate all of your support. It tells me that I'm barking up the right tree. This is the information that you want, and I will continue, keep on keeping on. Next week, we have a special guest, Dr. Megan Marie, who will be talking about female hormones and how to balance them naturally. Okay, if you keep an eye out for your, for the Facebook announcements and the newsletters, okay, you'll be getting I'll be giving you more information about that. Towards the end of the month, Dr. Jess is going back to England to run clinics and teach healthcare providers. I'll be in Manchester from May 28th to June 3rd, then in Herefordshire. If anybody in that area of the country, that area of the world, would like to see me or has questions, they can just contact me on Facebook or contact me via the website. Again, there's been some changes in the office. Everything's good. Everything's excellent. Be a little patient with me as we're making the changes. And, you know, if you have questions, please feel free to call, to email. You know that I love you. And we're going well. Things are getting better and better and better. And just enjoying working with everybody. So I appreciate your attention, and I will see you all next week. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
Been a long road, getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near. And I can feel a change in the wind right now.
Don't forget, everybody, the reason we have this podcast is to empower you, to give you good information, because chronic illnesses does not mean permanent. It doesn't mean you're going to be there forever. You have to have faith of the heart. You have to have strength. Walk through this. Realize that there are, in fact, reasons for your illnesses, and there's ways to get out of it. I don't believe anything is incurable. Okay, and I've proven that time and time again. And the fact is, okay, it's not the way the whole world thinks, so you have to fight against it. And always, always, always remember, if nobody tells you they love you today, Dr. Jess does. Have a good week. Take care.